Sports Day for Kia.
The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
We followed an incredible process over the last 2 to 3 weeks. We have unanimously selected Michael. Michael is a person of great integrity. He knows what success and high performance really looks and feels like.
Genuine appeal of it all was, I guess, the thoroughness even just of the review. You know, being able to, you know, I guess, as an observer, see how it unfolded and the change that clearly was being embraced.
Our expectation is that we want to aspire to play finals football next year.
6:07. Hello, welcome along to Thursday, this Thursday night, the last Thursday before the grand final. Huge news in footy today with Michael Voss named as coach of the Blues. I'm absolutely rapt for Vossie, rapt that he's back as a senior coach, and together, hopefully, Carlton and Michael Voss climb back up the ladder and out of the trough that the club has been in for so long. I was always hoping that Vossie will come back as senior coach, and Carlton is his target. Let's hope it's a great marriage. And Michael Voss, not far away from joining us. Scoop, shortly we're going to have the teams and the changes. And last night we were told that Ryan Gardner is unfortunately out for Alex Keith. There's always disappointments, and for him it's going to be a savage blow. We also wait on the unlucky omission for Cody Waitman, who is a certain inclusion. Melbourne, well, they have one decision to make, it seems, and that is, do they make a change to the injury sub? I doubt they will. They haven't done so long this season, but we'll confirm as soon as possible. Scoop, a much quieter day here in Melbourne. A beautiful day, in fact, with the roads around the Bayside at least chock-a-block. The beaches were borderline full, as if there was no lockdown. People taking advantage of the first good day we've had for a long, long time. But things, from what I'm told, got a bit tense in Perth with the COVID case. Welcome to you.
Hello, Jared. Looking forward to hearing from Michael Voss. What a big day for the Carlton Footy Club, isn't it? One of their most important coaches, in fact, probably the most important coach that this footy club is going to have in recent memory, given what has been going on, Jared. But yeah, a little bit tense, I think, is the way to put it.
You had your door banged down and said, no, you've got to go and get tested, Scoop.
Just made it on air. Grip burst through the door there. So yeah, the media who are attending tomorrow's open training session, Jared, which, as we've told you before, this week is a ticketed event.
Yes.
For COVID reasons, tomorrow at Optus Stadium, all had to go and get a test and test negatively before that, because some of us will be in closer contact than we have otherwise been with players and officials. Now, whether this has got something to do with the case that was reported yesterday or not, Jared, you'd probably have to ask the AFL and WA health officials. I think it's linked, personally. And you can understand everyone at the AFL being extremely cautious. They're not going to risk one person having come in contact or in close contact with this positive case, even though he was here for less than 48 hours, then test positive at a later point, and they find out, well, you know, Sam McClure was actually down at Optus Stadium interviewing Jack Viney before they ran out in the training session. Sorry, guys, game off, 14 days hard quarantine. That's how easy it can happen, Jared, as you know.
So you've just been tested. I take it it's Uber Eats and you're quarantined until you interview the players.
Well, it's probably likely, I assume. I mean, they're doing a rapid response time.
So the answer to that is no.
Well, I'm still seeking more information. Okay, I'm sure I'll have more clarity.
Let's move on. Michael Voss, the Carlton coach, the new Carlton coach.
Appreciate the questions, though.
It's got a good ring to it, hasn't it? Vossie, the Carlton coach, joins us on the line for the first time as coach. Welcome, Michael, and congratulations.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it.
It's exciting, I reckon, for everybody in footy, not just Carlton supporters. One of the greatest names of the game's ever seen is now back in the chair coaching. You must be excited yourself.
Oh, extremely excited, you know, to be able to be named the coach, you know, not only just for the club, but, you know, for my own journey, what I've been on. And, you know, obviously it's been well talked about where I started, and, you know, it's forced me to go back to work and make myself better. And now I get another look, and I'm very excited about it.
What did you have to change? We all know that you had an interesting start, successful initially, got to the finals, then made some calls. They didn't work. Where did you think you had to improve yourself?
Yeah, well, you certainly have to take a deep dive, that's for sure. And I guess it's been a gradual process. But, it's effectively pretty hard to measure, to be truthful, because it's been 8 years since I obviously coached at Brisbane, and been fortunate to be able to go to Port Adelaide and been part of a great club and a great coaching team. So I've learned a lot off Ken and those particular coaches. But if I had to hone in on anything, I guess the area that I really wanted to make sure that that I got better at was, taking this leadership that I felt that I was really strong at as a player, and and being able to adapt that to what's required as a coach. And, whether that was in communication, whether that was the relationships that I formed and bringing people together, and or whether that was just making sure that the management skills were brought together. So, clearly as coaching, for coaching, you're going to get better because you get plenty of exposure at it. But leadership was where I thought the my point of difference was, and what I wanted to explore the most.
What was the most difficult question that you were asked at the interview?
The most difficult? I think that very question of what's different and what is your point of difference, and that for me was not so much a difficult one, but but because the journey's been quite long, it's quite a complex answer. and trying to now explain how you pour your own IP into what you're doing at Port Adelaide and where you feel like your influence has actually been, and at times that's actually quite difficult to articulate because it's just been such a significant body of work.
Now, I'm going to introduce you to a person who embodies many Carlton supporters who have been battered and they've been psychologically affected. And I'm sure you're going to run into another. But this is Scoop McClure, Carlton fanatic and part-time journalist on the airways. Welcome, Michael. This is Scoop.
Part-time journalist. Don't listen to him, Michael. Hey, Michael, congratulations. Significant day for the footy club and for you. I just wanted to know, in the last 5 or 6 years when you've been coaching against Carlton, what you've seen and what you've noticed, because I can only imagine you took some of those perceptions into the process that led you to be coached.
Well, the first thing that stands out to me is clearly there's some real brilliance amongst the group. There's a real promise and talent that that exists there. The challenge is that how do we turn that into a real collective mindset and how we are able to work together and maximise those individual talents. So that's the biggest thing. And I guess the other thing that we need to put on the table is how do we replicate that level of talent, and how do we replicate that level of intensity that clearly is there on a more consistent basis. And so we'll go to work on that. Clearly I'm hoping that when the group walks in for the first day, that they get uncomfortable, that they're up for change, and they're up to have a total buy-in on what we're going to stand for moving forward.
Who do you want your assistant coaches to be, Michael?
Oh, we're working through that at the moment. So that was probably the first conversation I had today once we had dealt with some media commitments. We're just working through some of those candidates. And I guess the really big thing I'm about is about diversity. There's an opportunity here to bring in a diverse group, a group that can complement myself, but more importantly, that can get to work and coach these players.
Is Nigel Lappin on that list?
No, he's not. Not currently. So I don't want to speak on Nigel's behalf. He can do that well and truly. But no, as far as I'm aware, he's not.
Michael, I'm sure you'd be interested, but along with our listeners, Vandermeer is the really unlucky player who's lost his spot for Cody Waitman. So Keaton Waitman in.
So they've picked Scott Jarrett over Vandermeer, essentially. Yeah,
Gardner and Vandermeer out. Melbourne, at this stage, no change.
As expected.
Vossi, tell us how the coaching caper has changed since you were head coach in Brisbane and now you're head coach as Carlton. There's been a significant evolution, it seems. How have you seen it through, the working eyes?
Well, it's become more complex. And whenever you put more bodies into a place, it just adds to the complexity. you know, clearly there's going to be more messages. So there's a greater requirement on ensuring that there's really strong collaboration. And there's a danger that people can work in their own silos. They're obviously all experts in their field. They bring a high level of talent to the program. So the challenge is that how do you make them collaborate all together? How do we all connect up together so we're all on the same page? So when the players walk out, they're 100% clear on what they need. And the other thing I think that's really evolved, and it was probably already started, was, you know, with the players and the leadership style that you bring, it's, you know, your ability to be able to connect with players is just somewhat different to the way that it was been in the past. And there's a high priority in making sure that you invest in the relationships if you're going to get the shift in performance.
Just having a look at you walking hand in hand with Diesel, giving you a nice old pat on the back. What role is he going to take? Has he moved himself into the skills coach, or is he chairman of selectors?
He's very passionate. He might take up all those things, as far as I'm concerned. So no, he's been fantastic to talk to and even get to know over the last few weeks. So clearly obvious that he's a passionate Carlton person, but very passionate about his football. And you know, I'll be leaning on him a lot over this period of time.
Michael, of course, you as coach want to get the most out of all 44 or 45 blokes on your list. We can all understand that, but I'm sure a lot of Carlton supporters listening will be wondering what you can provide for the co-captain Paddy Cripps, who for a long time was up there with the best players in the competition, and for the last couple of years, for whatever reasons, an injury's got to be part of that, hasn't been able to refine that form. As one of the modern day greats that you were, have you got any early ideas of how to turn his career around?
No, well, I think it's more just maximising his capabilities. I mean, we can't ask necessarily for him to be all things. He brings we'll be strength based in what we bring to the table, and we talked about some of that individual brilliance. But to be able to make sure that we are able to get the best out of ourselves, then we need to put a collective system around someone like Patrick, or even someone like Liam Jones and Jacob Wiedering down back. So. You know, and then we can sort of really sort of bring their strengths to the fore. So how they complement each other is going to be important. How we put a system around them so we can maximise those strengths will also be very important. And I think if we can do that, and if we stop asking him to be all things, then we'll get the absolute best out of him.
One of your best recruits is Brian Cook so far. There's going to be plenty of others. Hopefully you pick up Adam Chera, but... what's your expectations of Brian Cook and his tenure? Is he a 5-year appointment? Is he a 2-year appointment?
Well, I can't speak for him, but as long as he wants, as far as I'm concerned, again, my dealings are only really have only been really short in the last few days, but. You know, he's reserved and observant, and when he speaks, people listen. And I'm going to lean on that quite a fair bit to be able to sort of bounce off him about his own philosophies and how it works. But what I do really line up with him 100% on is that it's about the people. And if we get the right people and that we get them in the right roles, then, you know, we'll go some way to success. So I line up pretty well with him in that regard.
Michael, it's a really exciting time for Carlton football people, and no doubt it's a really exciting time for you and your family. We wish you well. Let's hope it's going to be a fantastic northward journey. There's always some bumps along the way, but let's hope in 2 or 3 years' time that the Blues are firing on all cylinders. And I know finals are expectation. Final expectations are there for next year, but you're in it for premierships, no doubt, and they're not going to happen overnight. But it's great to have you back in the fold as a senior man.
Thanks, Jared. And thanks again for your support, mate.
Michael Voss, the great Michael Voss. What an exciting appointment for the Blues. Now
He was very impressive.
Oh, he's a really
Jared.
Impressive
not
guy.
Not that I'm surprised by that, but I'm always surprised by guys that get announced and then 6 hours later have to answer all questions as if they've been in the chair for 3 years.
No, he's a really impressive guy, Michael. I reckon he got his first job too early. He's going to be a fantastic success, and the Blues, hopefully, and him can be that magical marriage that I spoke about. Now, the lines are open. The Harcourt's open line, 13 13 32. We want your Norm Smith predictions. 13, 13, 32. We've got a $180 Tommy Ruff Grand Final hamper to give away. If you can nominate it, first in best dressed. But if you want your own Tommy Ruff hamper for Grand Final Day, give them a call. 13, 13, 32.
Can I enter this, Jared?
Of course you can.
But you can't
have one of the favourites. We'll take your calls after the break.
I'm more mobile, I can start doing more things, and I've kind of compartmentalised the sort of the grief and the pain and kind of focusing on my rehab, which is sort of giving me a really good release and just focusing on other parts of other things that I can do, you know, hanging out with my family and other things like that, which are a huge bonus.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Red Energy and the new Kia Niro, the electric SUV range, which has now landed. That was Josh Bruce. Compartmentalising the grief, the missing bulldog, Jared, unfortunately, who spoke to us on our podcast. He's missing out, as is Adam Tomlinson, both missing out with those season-ending knee injuries. There's always at least one sad news story from Grand Final week, Jared, and that's one of them.
And before we go to your calls, people already flooding in, nominating for the Norm Smith medal.
Well, when you put the Tommy Ruff hamper up for grabs, of course the calls are going to flood in.
Well, the Tommy Ruff Grand Final hamper is going to be consumed on a Monday for these people, but if you want your own, give them a call at their three outlets. Gardner and Vandermeer are the two unlucky omissions for the Dogs team.
I've got to say, Jared, I'm surprised about Vandermeer missing out of you. I thought he'd get a gig over Scott.
Well, maybe there was just that little bit of a question mark on the injury scoop.
The hammy, yeah.
So Keith and Waitman come back in. No change for the Demons.
You were the one that actually said, Jared, I reckon, at the start of last week, that you would have picked Cordy over Gardner, that his form warranted that. So that's come to fruition. A lot of people thought that it would be Cordy as the one last in would be the first out.
Yeah, Cordy's played a lot more games than Gardner, and Gardner's form's been good. I mean, sometimes there's no right or wrong with these decisions. You can imagine being in Luke Beveridge's shoes. Would be very, very difficult leaving anybody out. All righty, Rowan from Dandenong, who are you nominating?
I vote for North Melbourne, mate, so it's Ben Brown for me.
Ben Brown has gone. Jane from Frankston, you're next.
Jane, go ahead.
Liberatore for the Doggies.
Go the Dogs. I was actually went through the heart of the Western Bulldogs today, Jane. I know you're down at Frankston, so that doesn't count as the heart of the Western Bulldogs. Scoop, I was actually amazed I didn't see any Western Bulldog paraphernalia hanging out of houses. I was in Droop Street. I was at my old doctor, the old Western Bulldogs doctor, Jake Landsberger, getting my second AstraZeneca. So I'm double vaxxed. Go and get vaxxed.
Well done to you. Yep. And there's no colours.
A few people said to me, get vaxxed on the way in.
I'm sure they did. You weren't seeing any.
I didn't see many. Now I was talking to a couple of people saying, "Oh, it's the gentrification of that inner Western Bulldogs." I've seen plenty out in the suburbs, but I was really amazed not to see more.
There's plenty here, Jared, as you drive around the streets of Perth.
Maybe some people can give us a call and let us know where they've seen the best Western Bulldog sign or whatever hanging over a fence, because we spoke to, who was it, Rowan Davis, the property man who has got one up in Armidale causing all sorts of traffic hazards.
Stopping all the Range Rovers.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for your call.
Jared, just before you go to the next call, Gillon McLachlan today at the Carbine Club had a very good line. I don't know if he wrote it or not, but he said the heart of the epicentre of the earthquake yesterday, as we spoke to the senior coach from Mansfield, was in Mansfield, and he was explaining to the Perth crowd that that's right at the foot of Mount Buller.
Yes.
And he's reliably informed that the earthquake actually began because all of the Range Rovers at once began coming down from the tip of Mount Buller, all trying to get down at the same time. Anyway, I thought it was a good line. Maybe you didn't.
He's gone the Range Rover line.
Yeah. He got a good laugh. I tell you what.
Okay, somebody wrote it for him. Dave's at Melton. Welcome you, Dave.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Love
the moustache.
Who are you rolling with?
Hey, Dave. Thank you.
Jake Lever.
Jakey Lever, I think, is going to be a popular pick. We'll get the odds from Bluebet shortly. Clarkie's from Echuca. Welcome to you, Clarkie.
Clarkie.
Hello.
Yes, Clarkie. Who are you going for?
Clayton Oliver.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't go earlier. So you're one of the lucky ones there, Clarkie. You've picked up Clayton Oliver. Clarkie with Clayton. To Healesville, Kevin.
Good evening, gents. I think I'll go for the biggest bloke on the ground, Max Gawn.
Big Max. I saw him body surfing at City Beach today.
What?
Saw him body surfing at... Well, I didn't see him body surfing.
I was about to say, how did you see him?
Well, I just
saw
it
on... good eyes, Jared, but they're not that good.
I saw him on the news, body surfing. So luckily there was no injuries. Otherwise, Kane Corns would have gone cocoa bananas.
Corns is over here as well. He'd be watching. Dean's in Narre Warren. G'day, Dean.
Yes.
Who are you going for, Dean?
Hello.
Yes, Dean, you are
on the
air.
Hello, gentlemen. Jack Viney.
Yeah, he's my favourite. He's my pick. Dean, I reckon you have $5 on him and you're going to move the markets. Jack Viney, he goes to Libber. And then if Libber goes to Oliver, then Jack goes to McRae. There's going to be some swings and roundabouts.
So Viney goes to Libber.
Viney goes to Libber.
And if Libber goes to Oliver.
Yes.
Viney goes to
McRae.
McRae, yep. Right. And what if McRae goes? No, we won't go down that path. Are you going to give us your tip now? Are you waiting to the end of the show? Or
if we've got another show tomorrow night. But my Norm Smith medalist is Jack Viney. I've declared that.
Who's your smoky?
Jack Viney's my smoky.
Is he a smoky?
Yeah,
he's a gun midfielder.
He's
not sure he's a smoky.
Anything over 20 to 1 is a smoky.
Is he over 20 to 1?
$25.
Oh, hang on. Jeez. I better open up my account here. Have we got time for one more? Ben's in Melbourne. G'day, Ben.
Yeah, g'day, Scoopy. G'day, Jared. How about Adam Treloar, mate?
Yeah, he's a good get. He's a really good pick. Adam Treloar. I think Adam Treloar and Bailey Smith, if the Dogs win, have to have good games, Scoop. And I think they're high possession winners and they will kick goals.
Is that Zoe Scoopy laughing in the background?
Yes. She wasn't happy with you earlier in the piece, so she's saving it out on you.
We've got to get to a break because we've got the man with the best hair in Western Australia, Nat Fyfe, the captain of the Fremantle Dockers, a Brownlow medalist in his own right. He's going to join us very soon. It's all coming up on Sports Day.
The call was pretty clear that there was a case, but it was registered in New South Wales and the facts and that the truck driver had been disciplined and that it was actually, they were reasonably confident. And clearly, there was an aspect of it's been that sort of year, but we leave it to the people who know what they're doing and take their advice.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That was the League Chief, Gillon McLachlan, as you can hear, who was speaking alongside Jared. He had the cowboy stand
next
to him today. Yep,
that was cowboy the have the hat on?
Well, I think figuratively,
yes,
he did.
Okay.
Did you read Jake's column, by the way, in today's paper? It was an excellent piece in The Age, made reference to the fact that as everyone was walking past Nat Fyfe, looking at Nat Fyfe, wanting a selfie with Nat Fyfe and then Ben Cousins, the person that was talking to both of them was the most important person in the state that everyone was walking past, and that was the Premier of Western Australia.
Now, if you'd like to get involved with your nomination for the Norm Smith Medal, we have only 5 players taken, so plenty of options. We won't put you to air, but if you want to give Lawrence of Arabia a call, just give him a call.
Sam from Cottesloe calling in. I'd just like to wonder if I can put my hat in the ring.
Well, who are you going with?
I'm going Cozzy Pickett.
Okay, I like Cozzy. I like the two small forwards, one at either end. They'd be absolute belters for a price.
Cody and Cozzy.
You're probably going to get 50 to 1, I reckon. We'll find out from Bluebet shortly.
Do you reckon Cozzy, Jared, on a serious note, has the ability to just turn it on and kick 4? And
well, you go back to the first 7 weeks. He was the best small forward in the game. Now, Cody Waitman
declaring him All-Australian, I remember.
I would have, initially. Yep. I mean,
at that stage, he was.
He was
the starting.
He had a bit of a
forward.
Quiet spell, but he could kick 3. He could have 12 possessions, take 4 or 5 big tackles, be involved in a couple of handballs over the top, a couple of Joe the Gooses, and like Cyril, he could have a 15-possession game and win the medal.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, Jared, as we told you on Monday last week on this very show, Matthew Scarlett walking out in Geelong. He's going to have a season away from footy.
Yeah, and Corey Enright, it's a big commitment. He's leaving his own club. Look, it's a comfortable existence. Lives in Torquay, drives past the Cattery to go down to Moorabbin. That's about an hour, and I can tell you almost exactly, it's about an hour and 45 minutes.
You used to do that drive all the time when you were surfing, didn't
regular.
You? An absolute regular, the Nick Theodosi Mobile. Fremantle captain Nat Fyfe is going to join us live. It's next on Sports Day. Sports Day. We are powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021, and the new Kia Niro. Off-air, John from Brisbane has got Salem. Kristen Ballarat's got Bailey Smith. John from St Albans, Bontempelli, and Steve from Roxburgh Park has got Caleb Daniel. But, Jared, we need to go to our next guest. He's a Brownlow medalist. He's joining us live from Perth. And I think we had him number one, didn't we, Jared, when we did our list of most influential people in WA?
Indeed, we did.
Well, at least I did. I'm not sure where you had him. Nat Fyfe, the Freo captain, joins us. G'day, Nat.
G'day, guys. Very kind.
It's a big day for Perth. It's a big day for AFL football. You've got the grand final, Nat. No doubt you've been really busy. How have you seen it evolve over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, Jared, it's been a great build-up. We all know what sort of a spectacle and energy the city of Melbourne brings to grand final week. And Perth is trying to replicate it, although with its own flavour. Our Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis has really pushed some of those elements of community engagement. We've got the People's Parade tomorrow. We had a taste test with the prelim. And what we're seeing is everyone over here, whether they back for the teams involved or not, is sort of getting involved and getting behind the games.
I reckon the walk to the ground from the city area over that bridge, it's just going to provide some of the most amazing footage pre-match.
It's a great call. On the twilight, the sun will just be setting and looks like pretty good weather we're going to get. So it'll be lit up, that bridge, the ground will be in the colours of the two teams. We should see some amazing images.
What's your thoughts on the game itself, Nat? I mean, clearly you'd love to be playing there, like Brisbane. They didn't get their opportunity to play in a grand final, West Coast Eagles either. But what's your thoughts on these two teams going head-to-head?
I think we're set for an absolute ripping grand final, Joe. We've got two dominant performances in prelim finals and two completely different pathways to get there. So good luck being a punter trying to tip a winner. Mm. Melbourne's played one game in 4 weeks. Hindsight's going to tell us all the information we need, whether that helps or hinders them. And the Dogs have travelled all over the country, state to state, to get here, and they're trying to use that as their trump card, that underdog backs against the wall mentality. So I think we see two ridiculously stacked midfields going head-to-head, led by Max Gorn in the ruck there for Melbourne. So, and that really will set the tone as to how the momentum of the game will flow. And from there, it's which forward group and some mids can take their opportunities early and put a score on the board.
Hey, Nat, your club, the Dockers, decimated by injury, not just this year, but recently, I reckon, and yet have showed that they can take it up to the best teams. Where do you see your group heading into next year?
Yeah, the injury crisis, I think you'd call it, has really been a frustration point for all of our supporters. For 5 years, I think we've been in the bottom three or four clubs as far as games missed through injury. We've turned over our strength and conditioning coach, a senior coach, a lot of people internally to try and get to the bottom of it. We just haven't quite got a good run. The upside to that is if we do get a good run, then we should be a far more competitive team. We won 10 games this year with one of the youngest sides in it. So it's no secret we've invested heavily in the draft, and we've got some genuine young talent in who want to stay at Fremantle and help us win games. And the natural maturation of them, along with JL's game plan, which is sort of crafted through his experience at West Coast and Collingwood, it should put us around the mark. But it's easy to talk, isn't it?
One of those isn't Adam Chera. Are you disappointed to lose him?
I am, yeah, but I've probably moved on from it a little bit now. I was really disappointed initially because he's such a great young player and a really good young man, and he's put a lot of work into our club over 4 years. And I guess frustratingly, as a senior player, Dave Mundy and myself have stepped aside in the last couple of years to try and grow some of these young players, and it does bite when they pick up and head back home, which is their right to do. But at the same token, we have seen Caleb Sarong, Andy Brayshaw, some of these other guys come through that are going to be midfield guns for us for years to come.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time, I think, for you and for the group. I think, Chera is obviously a blow, but every club seems to lose, and you'll pick up somebody, maybe Jordan Clark, leaves the Cats and becomes the player that everyone thinks he has got inside him.
Done, I'm told, by the way, Jared.
That's done?
Track Crockridge's the same. He's all but joined the Dockers.
Yep. Can we confirm that, Nat? If Scoop says take it to the bank, we just are conditioned to taking it to the bank these days.
Oh, I think it's near enough. I haven't heard it's confirmed, but it's somewhere in the mark.
Bank it, Jared.
Okay, so everyone needs a deep midfield. You're part and parcel. You're one of the best contested players the game has ever seen, and yet there's probably, if you don't land another, you know, tall forward, there is a fair chance that maybe you need to or could be better served for the club playing forward. That would be clearly on the list of agenda items Justin Longmuir has to discuss with you.
Yeah, it has. We've had a couple of cracks in that conversation so far already. look, our hope is that we can bring some tall forward talent in locally through the draft this year. We've got some high picks. And that's what we'll be trying to do, because I will play where I'm required to play and give our club the best chance of playing September action. But at the same token, I've spent 12 years on my craft as becoming a really high-quality midfielder, and that's where I play my best footy. So to rob Peter to pay Paul as a leader is something I'm willing to do. As a player is something I'd rather not do.
You've got so much defensive talent, though. Maybe one of them has to go forward. Brendan Cox potentially could go forward. He started there before he went back. So maybe you've got it within yourselves already on the list. But we're running out of time, Nat. I'm going with Jack Viney. Nick Theodosius just rang through. He's going with Jack McRae. And Zoe, our super producer, is going with Stephen May. Can you give us your Norm Smith medalist?
Yes.
And, of course, your final tip for the historic Perth Grand Final.
I think Melbourne will win it. Their fans have waited long enough and they've had the best prep coming in. And I think Angus Brayshaw will be the Norm Smith medalist.
Oh, he's gone with the West Australian, Jared.
Gone Angus Brayshaw off from the wing.
Yes. Nat, it's great to have you on. I think you were the most mobbed person at the Brownlow Medal on Sunday night, maybe second to Ben Cousins. I'm sure you'll enjoy some peace and quiet and some time off, and good luck to you and your Dockers next year.
Gents, thanks very much for having me.
The great Nat Fyfe joining us live from WA.
He already played in one grand final, played as a key forward back in that grand final, emerged as his brilliant midfielder.
I talked a lot to some Freo people today about that grand final, Jared. If they'd kicked straighter in that first quarter and a half, obviously they were a magnificent team in that year, weren't they?
They were. It was a real. It was a good grand final, except for that kicking, and they looked like they were coming in the third quarter. And as Hawthorn have done so many times, snuffed it out in that magnificent rain under Clarko.
It's been a just before we get to the break. It has been a really contrasting build up. The two teams, I've got to say. Jared, from a media and publicity standpoint, the Western Bulldogs have been really relaxed.
Yes.
Happy to do as much media interviews, let cameras into the training sessions. Mm-hmm. The Demons have really shut things down, which I think has been really interesting. Their footy department, it sounds like, has driven it, Jared, and you know, they just want to concentrate on the game. So, you know, two really different approaches to the public nature of a game that we know is inherently public, but even perhaps more so because the two Victorian teams promoting a game outside of their states. This has been interesting.
So you've got a chance to interview the teams tomorrow. What's that? How long does that take?
Well, it'll take the best part of an hour, and then watching the two teams train, and then the press conferences. You know, it's going to be an outstanding day in WA. More sports after this.
It's time for a Bluebet odds update. Bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download the apps today. Gamble responsibly.
Yes, everybody has a flutter on grand final day, whether it's the Norm Smith medal or you're going to back your preferred side. Let's find out where you can get the best odds. Duncan McRae from Bluebet joins us. Duncan, welcome. Where's all the money at the moment?
Yeah, good evening, Jared. Yeah, well, what a strange betting game here. It's been up and down with both teams. We're going to kick it off now with the Demons at the head-to-head at Bluebet. $1.65, $2.25 the Bulldogs, and they've got 8.5 start at the moment. Jared, we've got 102 markets up, so the best way is probably a Bluebet same-game multi to kick off in the GF.
I love the Norm Smith medal. I always have half a dozen bets. I love trying to get a smoky. I've got a rule, a personal rule. I never back a favourite, but for those people who do, tell me the top five choices.
Yeah, Jared. Well, $6 Christian Petrarca, he's the favourite. Clayton Oliver at $7. Maxi Gawn and Bontempelli at $8. Jack McRae and Bailey Smith, both at $15. Bit of money for Jack Viney. He's been $25 into $21 to win the Norm Smith.
Yeah, I was pumping his tyres up. I think that's why the market's shortened on Jack Viney, Norm. Sorry, for the Norm Smith medal, Duncan. So you're telling me Jack Viney is now at $21?
That's it. He's in from $26, Jared. All the money for Petrarca. He's been seven, out to a six, outright favourite.
Fantastic, Duncan. Have a great grand final day and really appreciate your help right throughout the year.
Thanks, Jared. Have a great evening. Thanks, guys.
Duncan McRae from Bluebet. That wraps up our pre-grand final Thursday night show. Good luck to both sides. And if you're not listening tomorrow night, as I hope you are, let's hope you have a great grand final day and your team gets up for a win. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy. At least some of us are here for Red Energy. Awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes, who believe in great design, so you'll love being home. Folks, I said some of us will be here because you will not believe what has just happened. Scoop's been tapped on the shoulder by the AFL and said, you must now go and have a COVID test. And I mean, you must go now. I thought we were living in a free democracy, but no, I think we've had plenty of examples that that is not the case. And we have now got another one. Fortunately for us, the chief football writer of the AFL record and one of the great minds behind AFL journalism in Ashley Brown is with us, as he always is, on a Thursday night. Welcome to you, Ash.
Jared, good to be here. Sorry, Sam's not here.
Yes, it's unfortunate, isn't it? Tapped on the shoulder. I assume it wasn't by Gil himself, but one of Gil's minions.
Yes.
said, Scoop, go and get a swab stuck down your nose.
I'm trying to work out who the minion would be. Was it Walshy or Nadine?
No, it wouldn't be Walshy. It wouldn't be. It'd be Lower. Who looks after the...
integrity people?
Yeah, I'd be... Anyway, it doesn't matter, but gee... It's clearly probably evident and evidence that they are very, very concerned about this one case that the cowboy might just make a deal of himself.
Well, you watch these things. It's become clear to me you watch these things much more closely than I do.
Yep.
They shut down the derby on the basis of one case. Yep. So they've changed their thinking for the grand final, the WA government.
Indeed, although the Derby was shut down because I don't think they had a full handle on it. This particular one, the co-driver has already been tested, negative. He's been tested and isolated. So I think they believe that it has been in control. Now, when you say I follow it, I do follow it very closely, but I must admit I've had a 12-hour hiatus where I haven't found out why this has become so important that Scoop gets tested. Because let's go through it. Scoop gets tested. He's staying on the beach with Jake Nile down at Cottesloe. He goes to the testing facility. He comes back from the testing facility. He may even be on radio before we leave. And then he goes out for dinner. Now, it's not a three-minute test just over there at the present time. So unless he's being told to go get tested and then isolate until the grand final, that is the only thing that makes sense.
I would imagine that the AFL is advising pretty much anyone who's there, particularly who's there on their dime, that's it, 48 hours to go, Uber Eats, don't leave the premises, we'll see what the footy
does. That make sense, though? Like there's 50,000 people turning up.
Yeah, but I think they want to control what you can control. Jared, the old Dennis Pagan thing, so at least control what they can control. So they've just been ultra cautious. They'll just be, I mean, Gil, I can't imagine he'll sleep much until the final sirens like that.
Dare I say it, and I won't dwell on this, but this is almost an I told you so moment. Having the bye was one of the dumber things I've seen the AFL do over the journey.
Yeah.
Now, they'll probably get away with it, but just imagine if two became five, five became 10, the cowboy would slam the gate shut, bang, without any hesitation.
This was the worry with, I mean, I understand the competitive balance reason behind the bye. It was more for the fairness for the Bulldogs, whereas Melbourne had been there for weeks. Melbourne, the Bulldogs quarantining them playing.
I've heard four different excuses for this.
That's the excuse I heard. Yeah. But this is the
downside. I've heard the other excuse you've Port Adelaide. No one expected the Bulldogs to win, and we'll get to that. But they thought that Port Adelaide would win. Port Adelaide are in the bubble, the travel bubble, and they thought that 15,000 Port Adelaideans would turn up and spend cash.
Yeah, well, there is that, isn't there?
So. That was the reason that Scoop McClure was divulged on air a couple of times. So I don't think anybody had the Bulldogs in their thinking. And therein lies why I think, and I said this last night at the top of the program, Luke Beveridge is on the cusp of not just greatness, because greatness means many things. I am talking about he moves to almost a giant of the game if he wins this particular premiership. A giant of the Dogs, certainly. And I would like his historical knowledge to actually put into perspective what a win for Luke Beveridge would do. Now, bear in mind, he would be the only bloke ever to have coached two premierships with eight games where not one game he's been the favourite. This year, he's had to travel to Launceston, to Brisbane, to Port Adelaide, all against the odds, and he turns up, and let's say he beats Melbourne again against the odds. Where does he sit in the Hall of Fame of greatness for the Dogs? And where does he sit? Because I can't remember another coach who has done that twice.
I've been fortunate in terms of people talk about with the record. We do a Premier's magazine that comes out celebrating the winning team. So I've had to do a lot of pre-writing beforehand. So I walked through with Amit Baines, the CEO of the Dogs. He walked me through pretty much everything that's happened to them day by day since Tasmania. It is incredible.
It is.
The hurdles they have overcome. That's why, in a way, I hope, if I'm barracking for the yarn in this grand final, I actually hope the Bulldogs win in a way, because I want to be able to tell this story publicly. Yes.
Well, you should tell it anyway, because the hoops they are great already.
The hoops they've been made to jump through, how difficult Queensland was for them, how difficult South Australia was, and even Tasmania. Some of the stuff that happened in Tasmania hasn't been wildly reported as well. For them to overcome all that and win this grand final will be just incredible. In answer to your question, Jared, I think it puts him up there. He becomes one of the greatest figures. He's up there with EJ. He's up there with Charlie Sutton.
I know he's up there, but is he actually ahead?
One of you goes ahead of EJ because of the 20 years of EJ as the club's greatest player. But, geez, he becomes a giant of that football club with a win on Saturday.
EJ was many, many Brownlow, many, many best and fairest, one premiership. Charlie Sutton was he captain coach of 54?
54, yep.
So, giant. I mean, this bloke is two premierships.
Well, two premierships, doesn't it? It elevates him past Sutton, probably takes him past Charlie Sutton. Up there with EJ. EJ was 20. He's also one of the great. He was also the greatest player in the game for a lot of the time he played for the Bulldogs. So I don't think he goes past EJ. Probably goes past Charlie Sutton. In terms of, I don't think a player with the Bulldogs has made a greater contribution. They've had some great players. I'm not sure they've had a player other than EJ who's made a greater contribution to the club. So he might be in the quinella with.
If you took EJ's greatness off the field away from it, as somebody put to me today, do you think then that his legacy would be slightly less gigantic, and therefore we'd get an easier perspective on where Beveridge sits in comparison to him? And I'm talking about somebody like Jake Nile, who does think these things through. You still got EJ1?
I've got EJ1. He was the Bulldogs. I mean, they called him Mr. Football. He was also Mr. Footscray. So I don't think he goes past EJ, but you can make the case he's greater figure now than Charlie Sutton.
Now, I know this isn't a true broad sample, but I went and got myself double vaxxed today, and I've come up with a couple of sayings. Relax, double vaxxed, or just simply, to any resistance, go and get vaxxed. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is simply this. I went to Droop Street to see my old club doctor at Demonland, Jake Landsberger, and I didn't see a Bulldog flag. Droop Street is in the heart of Footscray. I didn't go through Barclay Street and I didn't go through the heart of Bulldogs, but I skirted it. I went past Footscray High School. I went up and down Flemington Road. I didn't see one Bulldogs flag.
That's because they've become gentrified, the Dogs. It's the great, they're the team, they really are. It's the vision of David Smorgon. They're the team of the Western suburbs, not Footscray. They've gone beyond Footscray. It's, if you go past the Bulldogs, past Footscray down into Seddon, Yarraville, then out to Werribee, Melton, that whole area, that's the Bulldogs' heartland these days.
We discussed
the suburb itself. I was
staggered. We did some, we discussed this at the top of the program, and I was
It shocked me. Yeah, I think it's the team in the region, not the suburb now.
No, okay, that's fair enough too. And you're right, it's been very much gentrified, and there's probably a lot of round ball fans over there, and maybe they've lost some of their love of the local team.
Well, the great story that was written by, I think, Mick Leeston's story, is the preponderance of private schoolboys. It used to be Simon Beasley was the outlier.
That's right.
For the private schoolboy, even though he's from Perth.
So who's the number one? It'd be Bailey Smith, I suppose. He's a Xavier boy.
Xavier, superstar. So he's beat, but there's a whole stack of them now.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a couple of St. Kevin's boys. Liberatore's a St. Kevin's boy, and there's one or two.
There was the ruckman, the big ruckman who was a stockbroker, not Beasley. He's a big ruckman.
Andrew Purser.
That's it. He was a WA. He was an outlier.
Yeah, that's right. But they're a different breed, the Bulldogs, to what they used to be.
Yeah, well, maybe take some talk back tomorrow night when we talk to Douglas Hawkins about why there isn't too many flags out that way. You're a bit disappointed about the grand final marathon being no more?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a tradition. If stay up all night on Channel 7 and watch, that just shows really how times have changed, I guess, I just had a look casually the other day at the TV guide and thought, oh, maybe if I'm staying up late, I'll watch a couple of old grand finals to get in the mood, and particularly when you can sleep in now on Saturday morning, given the game's not till the evening, but no more.
Did you check the Fox Footy guide?
Well, I know Fox Footy ran them last weekend, and that was I tweeted about that. I mean, I thought the recency bias of the top of the Fox Footy greatest grand final list was quite obvious. I mean, it didn't have 66.
Yeah. Pick up sticks.
Didn't have 70.
Hit the boundary. Yeah.
Didn't have 67, which is pretty good.
70. What comes to mind?
71.
What comes to mind at 70?
Handball.
No, Jezelenko, beauty.
Jezelenko, beauty. So didn't have that. A little bit disappointed with the... didn't have the 77 draw, Jared.
Well, I suspect the reason they didn't have it was because I suspect Fox don't own the rights to it.
The old Fox. Really?
I think AFL Media or AFL Films owns it, and it's been. Didn't David Barham own that at one stage?
David Barham's had AFL Films, and the old AFL Media is actually conglomeration of about four different companies that the AFL bought, because they decided to bring all the media IP under one roof. Jeff Slattery's business was part of it as well.
So. I'll bet you it's because Fox haven't got the rights to those particular games. Why wouldn't you show Collingwood Carlton great grand final? Or a Collingwood North Melbourne great grand final? Two of them, in fact. We'll find out. I'll get some research on that. In fact, I'll text Leroy Loggins and see if that's the case. He probably won't want to answer. The news week in this city, the daily protests, the earthquakes, and the grand final in Perth. It's been a different week, hasn't it? It's almost been an embarrassing week. Well, not almost. It's been an embarrassing week us proud Melbourneites.
It's been a bad week. And then to look over to Perth with the grand final. Do you think the events of yesterday would have happened if it had been grand final week in Melbourne?
Well, obviously the answer to that is no, because if we had a grand final, we wouldn't be locking out the construction industry. Mm. So I think the question you're asking is, would a distraction of that amount or significance sort of shut down any potential demonstration that got so far out of hand? And I think the answer to that is yes. Mm. But we are in very strange times. I mean, this notion of vaccination is very much divisive. I'm very much a pro-choice person.
I want to talk to you about your double vax. I've written a piece for the Grand Final Record.
Yeah.
AFL's three big decisions to make around vaccinations. At what level does it enforce it at the elite level?
Yeah.
At what level does it enforce it at grassroots, given it is the keeper of football at every level in the country? And at what level does it enforce it for spectators next year? No vax, no jab, no entry to the footy next year. Is that a reasonable thing for the AFL to take on board?
I think it is. I think it is. You know, the only people I feel some sympathy for, and I think there needs to be a way to help them out, are those who are
medically, of course,
justified in not taking it. For those who just feel it's an evil thing that they're putting in their body, or the usual stuff that you hear from the hardcore anti-vaxxers, well then, I think that's fine. If you want to go down that, I don't think you can tell people how to live their lives outside of, if you want to do that, well then, that's fine, but you can't get on an aeroplane, you can't go to the footy, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's going to be, in some people's minds, very, very unfair.
Do you think
but it's also unfair that the AFL may get shut down because of anti-vax, or the whole community may get shut down because we've got so many percentage of the 20% of people who aren't getting vaccinated blocking up the hospital system. It's a very difficult argument. I understand that. I'm very much pro-choice. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But sort of don't come running to us if you're in hospital.
Do you think the AFL, and the AFL wisely, I think, has just kept fairly quiet as on policy. But do you think the AFL, and I believe it was discussed at the commission meeting in Perth this week, do you think the AFL from Monday needs to come out and say something?
Oh, I don't think it necessarily has to be Monday. I think
at some stage soon, set some expectations around. Don't forget, AFLW is 3 months away, Jared.
No, it's a fair point.
They've got to set some expectations in the community, I think.
But I think there is also a method that you can at some stage just sit one back, one. What is it?
One out, one back.
One out, one back. And this debate can go on, and somebody can do the emotive work for you. I mean, when Qantas came out and said you need to be vaccinated, it was fairly groundbreaking, but it went away pretty quickly. Just like when Ms. Hardliker came out and said, well, people are going to die. We've got to open up the cities. She's the chairman of Virgin. And yet the reality is that was probably a month early, because the reality is then premiers came out and said the same thing 6 or 8 weeks later. I mean, that is the reality. People are going to die when we open up the country.
The AFL's in that position now. Also, it can let Cricket Australia and Tennis Australia, to a degree,
do the battle
and see how it plays out.
I know that up north, a couple of the stadia are well and truly down the track of having a no jab, no entry philosophy. Now, it hasn't hit the airwaves yet, but take it to the bank. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, well, and what happens in Melbourne, it bears watching. I'd like to see the AFL come out, not Monday, but at some stage, and set some, this is what we're thinking for next season. Give people notice. Yep. Don't spring it on us 2 weeks before the start of the season. Well, she just...
Yeah. You know, well, the interesting thing will be how the Players Association deal with it, because they're always pre-choice, 100% pro-choice. And sometimes I think that they've got to look at the bigger picture more than they do. And sometimes the individual rights have to take second position to the greater society's rights. And if Qantas don't allow you to fly and Virgin don't allow you to fly, you're playing in a national competition. Well, if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But if you can't fly, you can't play. You better have a think about the outcomes of your strong health position.
Yeah. I'm also keen to see whether a player comes out. There's been in America, there's been a few, whether a player's going to come out as a prominent anti-vaxxer. I read somewhere that there are some.
Yep.
Who might be prepared to come out and say something. It'll be fascinating to see how that plays out in the court of public opinion.
Media have been waiting for someone to come out for a long, long time in lots of different areas. We're going to take a break. More with Ashley Brown after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. Shortly, injured Western Bulldogs for Josh Bruce is going to join us, but Ashley Brown is still with us. You better tell us exactly what's in the grand final edition, Ash, because I've got a couple of other things to tick off before you leave us.
260 pages of
260
rate.
Pages.
The biggest
that's
one ever.
A book.
Hutchie's been out selling lots of ads, and a lot of West Australian ads in the record. So it's our biggest one ever. It's the usual. It's
what's your favourite topic? What's your favourite piece?
My favourite piece would be I was asked to nominate the 10 greatest grand final moments that I have seen or experienced, which I enjoyed, starting from 1970 through to Dusty last year, which I enjoyed putting together. I always enjoy writing the match preview and really sinking my teeth into.
Yes.
Who's going to win and why?
Well, tell us who's going to win and why.
Melbourne by 10 points.
And why?
Just been the best team all year.
Right.
Had an answer for pretty much everything. So.
Okay. Well, I don't disagree with that particular outlook. I think there's two outcomes only, and that is it's a close game and either side can win, or it's a blowout and Melbourne wins.
Yeah, it could be one of those ones. We talked about the Bulldogs and what they've been through. It might just all get too hard for them in the third quarter if they're struggling, but after such a rigorous campaign, but it could also be one of the great ones.
Yeah, it could be. I'm really fascinated to see what Beveridge throws, because I don't think Goodwood's going to throw anything different.
No, he hasn't all year. This is what you know what you're going to get with Melbourne.
Yeah, but I think Luke Beveridge has got the capacity to come up with things that challenge Simon Goodwin and his coaching panel. Dennis Cometti, one of the greats, his last call this weekend.
Well, the law of unintended consequences. He gets to call his last ever game of football is a grand final in his city he loves, in the media centre for which he is named. It's a perfect ending to just one of the best football media careers anyone could hope for.
Yep.
Someone that you've worked with him for a long time. I've dealt with him on and off, and he's just one of the great people.
Yeah, in fact, if I can, I might try and get him on air tomorrow night. That would be fantastic. Although I must admit, Lawrence of Arabia has had a gutful of how many people I've wanted to get on air this particular week, and he's done a great job getting 90% of them. Well, that just about wraps it up. Ash, you've been fantastic right throughout. Of course, I know Trade Radio's kicked off and all of a sudden the big trade stories start to take hold. Are you with us?
I am with you.
I thought you were. I thought you'd signed up a 52-week contract.
I'm not going. Well, I don't have a 52-week contract with the employer, but I've got one with you. So I'll be back next week. Oh, if you'll have me, I'm here till the end of the year.
Righto, great stuff. Ashley Brown joining us, and he's another one who thinks the Demons are going to win in a tight one. Yes, you're listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, and we're also here for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range, which has now landed. One of the difficult stories to digest has been the unfortunate finish to the year for Josh Bruce. We've spoken to him a bit, but it's even more disappointing and difficult when you're on the cusp of your team running out for a grand final. He's been good enough to man up and have a chat in many respects. There's not much more he can do. Josh Bruce, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on board. I wish we weren't talking in these situations. How are you actually dealing with it? An ACL rupture, you've been one of the great mainstays. You're having an All-Australian year up until the back end of the season, and then bang, you get to snap an ACL. How are you coping, and how are you processing?
It was bloody hard, and it still is bloody hard. Obviously, day to day, there's not a day that goes by where I don't think about, geez, I wish I was over in Perth, and geez, I wish I was preparing for a grand final. But at the same time, it's been 7 weeks now, so since my surgery, and I'm starting to get to the point where I'm more mobile, I can start doing more things, and I've kind of compartmentalised the sort of the grief and the pain, and kind of focusing on my rehab, which is sort of giving me a really good release, and just focusing on other parts of, other things that I can do, hanging out with my family and other things like that, which are a huge bonus. So,
yes, it's a really difficult set of circumstances. I have a lot of empathy with you. I went through a similar scenario when I fractured my wrist, dislocated my wrist, and my career ended about 3 months later when a doctor said it's either physio or football. And at that stage, in a semi-professional era, it was a pretty difficult decision. But you can't live your life in a rear vision, looking into a rear vision mirror. You can only look through the front glass and try and drive the car in a positive direction.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I mean, obviously, it's. The final series has been pretty challenging in its own right. Like, whilst I'm incredibly proud and happy for the club and for the boys, there's still that tinge of sadness, obviously, and pang of regret. But it's all systems go for Saturday for the boys. And and from a personal note, I think once the game's over on Saturday, I think just getting that closure from the season that was 2021 and being able to move forward will be good for everyone. So
it's been an extraordinary year. I mean, you're on top of the ladder for a long part of it. Melbourne stitched you up, gave you a nice old belting in round 11. Then you gave them a belting, and then you fell off the tram to a large degree through some injuries and through whatever other issues happened. But Bevo, as you did in 2016, has been able to lift the group, and you're now, as a club, obviously, playing in the grand final. Take us inside of the mind of Luke Beveridge and why he's able to do that, why he's able to get sides who have lost all semblance of confidence and get them up and believing in themselves again. How does he do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously a lot of the impact falls on Bevo's shoulders in terms of what he's done. But I think it's also driven by the group as well. I think, the guys like, the captain, Marcus Bontempelli, guys like Jack McRae, Tom Liberatore, guys that have been there before, guys that have done it before and know that, it's not all over. We've been probably in the top two teams all year. We can beat these guys, and we have beaten these teams before. We beat Brisbane early in the year. We beat Port at home earlier in the year, so it wasn't that big of an obstacle for us again. So I think, at the end of the day, it's probably the two best teams for the whole season in reality are playing each other in the grand final. So it's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of poetry in that.
How do you see the matchup between the two teams? As I said, you played in both games. You won one, you lost one. You're actually smashed in the middle in the first one, and you smashed them in the middle in the second one.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it on the head, man. I think it's going to be won and lost, at particularly centre bounce, and then particularly through the midfield as a whole. So, I mean, if we can negate the impact that Max Gorn and Petrarca and Oliver have around the stoppages, then we'll go a long way to winning the game. And I think, you know, even the last time that we played them, we didn't have Steph, we didn't have Adam Chalor, we didn't have Dunkley. Keith did his hammy in the first quarter. So, I mean, you know, we're definitely, you know, it's optimistic about our chances. And the guys are chock full of confidence with the 4 weeks they've had, and having the week off before the granny, I think it's been a good thing, letting a couple of guys recuperate and get themselves right to go.
So just running through that, because I don't think that's been broadcast widely enough. You didn't have Steph Martin. You didn't have
Trelaw, Dunkley, or, yeah, and Keith.
You didn't have, who was the third one?
Josh Dunkley.
You didn't have Dunkley, of course. And you, and Josh Keith, Keith went down with an injury during the game. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's
four pretty handy players.
They are handy players, and it, you know, each game's different on its own merit, and obviously a grand final brings its own its own stratosphere, really. So, I know it's going to be an even contest. You know, not discrediting Melbourne, they've been the number one team all year, so it's going to be a great game, and I'm looking forward to watching to see how it unfolds and to see who gets an advantage where.
Are you surprised that Jamara Ugal-Hagan hasn't sort of emerged through the finals?
I think, Jared, as you know, like, as a key position player in particular, it's so tough in his early years. Like, when your body is probably not developed at the level, you know, that where a big key defender like a Stephen May would just be able to bully you around in a certain degree. You know, he's 18, 19 years old, so I think that's just probably the biggest thing, and I think that he got a taste of it this year, which I think will make him hungrier for the preseason, which will in turn make him hungry for the beginning of next year, and then hopefully, you know, as his body develops, and you know, we can see he's got talent. You know, we know he can handle it at the level, so you know, it would have been a pretty incredible feat for him to come into a top of the side team and have a really big impact as an 18-year-old key forward. I just haven't really ever seen that before, to be honest. So,
tell us about the club itself. I drove past the Witten Oval today on the way to going to see my old mate Jake Landsberger to get my second vaccination shot. And I was...
Well done.
I was actually, you know, like you go past and you... I played my last game on the Witten Oval. You have great memories of the Witten Oval, but I've never really sort of known the club. I know plenty of great guys from the club. Jono and Smithy are good mates of mine, but tell us about the club itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really interesting and beautiful club. I think, you know, when I initially was talking to the Bulldogs about coming across, and I'd been speaking to the CEO, Amit Baines, who obviously came from St Kilda as well, and he just spoke about the feeling and the community that he felt over in the Western Suburbs was just something really special. And particularly this year, it's just something that I've noticed, you know, the community and the fans, and being able to play some games in Melbourne in front of fans is just incredible. And there's sort of this, I don't know, there's this sort of really blue collar culture there that's kind of, you know, it's more about the team as a whole rather than the individuals. I mean, you can see that even from the top. From some of our best players are the most selfless players going around. So, yeah, it's a great club to be involved with. We've got a terrific culture at the moment, which is obviously led, you know, by the skipper and by the guys at the top. And, it's, you know, I'm really looking forward to finishing my career there.
And you've been at the club packing merchandise orders, keeping yourself busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Baines, I have to admit, Baines, he put a little bit of mail on that with his little Twitter spiel. But I was there doing my rehab for the day.
Right.
And I'm coaching the AFLW from an evening on a Monday. So
okay.
Yeah, I had about an hour in between. So I popped in, and they were obviously inundated with orders. And popped in to see how they were going and helped out a little bit, but I certainly didn't do a 6-6 shift or anything in there, Jared.
So. grand final week is historically a great week for Mayo. I wouldn't clarify any of these stories as long as they're favourites, as long as they're positive towards you on the upside. It's going to be a tough game to watch, without question. It'll even probably be tougher if the Dogs prevail. But you've had an enormous contribution to the club so far, and I hope that you get through Saturday the best way you can, that you can celebrate with the boys the best way you can, given that you've got this unfortunate AFL or ACL injury, and you can get on with life and have a great finish to your career. Good luck, and thanks for your time again, Josh.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate that, mate.
Josh Bruce. We all know his story. It's a tough one, but it'll be just that little bit better if the Dogs can get up and he can be part of a premiership team, albeit not playing on the day. Former Melbourne CEO Peter Jackson had a major part in building the Demons. They were in huge trouble when he turned up. And about 8 years later, they're playing off in their first flag since 1964. He's up next. Peter Jackson, he's been a great contributor to football across two clubs, and he will be one of the men mostly responsible for the rebuilding of the Demons and the rebuilding of a club good enough to win a flag when history is written. He's an interesting guy, and we were happy and thrilled to have him on our program.
I'm very, very excited. I'm excited, and thanks for having me, guys. It's, but very excited for the really diehard Melbourne supporters. It was a Met back in 2013. I thought they were going to tear the grandstand down when I went to my first meeting halfway through a game. And, they were very unhappy and had every right to be. And so they've hung in there and they've stuck and others have joined them. And they're the ones that I really hope get weekend.
When you first turned up to Melbourne, what did you actually find?
Oh, it wasn't a good place. It was not a good place at all. I don't know that they realised where they were at as a footy club. And, Roosie and I talked about this just after Roosie joined. Gee, surprisingly, really, aren't they? And I said, well, the players weren't, don't get me wrong there, but the staff and the board. And footy is an interesting environment. People have a lot of fun working there, and you can talk to your mates who aren't in the footy, and everyone's excited for you because you're working footy in this. You go to the game full of hope every week, but they just didn't realise what they should be or could be, I don't think. And I've often said, you look around and there was not very many people that had ever been in a very high-level AFL environment. Todd Viney was one who was had just come into the club in the list management role, but there weren't too many others. You'd count them on less than one hand. So didn't have people that actually knew what the environment should be. And then on the other hand, some players, I mean, the fellow that has just retired, who I've got total admiration for, Nathan Jones. He was basically distressed when I walked in. He was one of the guys I spoke to most often to get a feel for the yep. place from the player's perspective. And he was just fundamentally a distressed footballer who didn't know where his career was going. So, yeah, look, it was a very unhappy environment. But having said all that, I was very optimistic. I think he'd be anyway, but I just could see the opportunity was there if we get the right people into the club.
And how certain were you, Peter, that Paul Roos was that man? I mean, he's not going to, if they win the flag on Saturday, a lot of Melbourne supporters are hoping they do, he's not going to be the guy lifting the cup, but he still would deserve some fingerprints on it, wouldn't he?
Of course. I mean, a lot of people deserve fingerprints on it. I mean, he does. Todd Viney's not there anymore, but Todd led the list management and he helped to create the current list with Jason Taylor and the rest of the team. There's a lot of people that have got their fingers on it, and if we can lift it, and that's the beauty of a footy club. I've always said there's no one person responsible for the failure of a club. There's no one person responsible for the success of a club. Unfortunately, tend to sheet home both the coach and neither is the case, success or failure. There's a lot of people have to be for yourself. But yeah, Roosie was very important, having said all that, because you know I didn't know him personally, but I knew what his philosophy was at sea, which was standards, behaviours and culture. And I guess if this was going to turn around, it was going to be a long haul. It wasn't going to be a quick fix. And it was all going to be about changing the culture of the footy club. And I could work on one side of the river and he could work on the other, well, the railway line, I should say, not the river, because we were in separate buildings. But we did that, and that was my priority for trying to get him. And also, if you've got us involved in that club, then hopefully other people would take a risk and come. You know, they'd believe that if we were there and we were going to try and change the place, they'd want to come along for the ride. And that certainly proved the case. We got some very good people into the club as a result.
One of them was Simon Goodwin, who turned up, I think, 2 years later. But it could well have been Stuart Dew. If my memory serves me correctly, he was the initial selection from Paul Roos to be his right-hand man, to be the successor. And yet I think the Sydney Swans at that stage put a halt to that. So history could have been entirely different. And Simon Goodwin was next up. And he's had his moments also, as every coach does along the way. Simon Goodwin is one win away from coaching immortality. Could well have been Stuart Dew. Is that how it unfolded?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there was never any was put to Stuart. He came through an interview process the year before, aiming to have a succession plan after Roosie set the succession plan. And you know, we were impressed by him. He was never actually going to get there. I think I'm not sure what happened with the Sydney Swans. I know from his own personal point of view, though, I don't think his family really leave Sydney at that point. So as it turned out, it was never going to happen. Then for Simon, I suppose, we put it back a year and Simon was the man.
Where are you going to be watching from on Saturday, Pete?
Well, like most Melbourne supporters, the couch.
Yep.
I did try to contact Gillen straight at the preliminary final and said there must be a spot for an essential AFL worker right there somewhere, shouldn't there? Season 2 weeks quarantine, but he didn't respond, so I guess that's a no. So, look, the truth of the matter is the Premiership Cup, whether it's won it in Perth or at the MCG. It'd be a lovely romantic story at the MCG. I'm sure all the Melbourne supporters will take it anyway if they get across the line.
Do you think, Peter, there should be a medal for everybody involved? I personally do. I've changed my mind very strongly that this is a game won by a squad. A premiership is won by a team, and a team is more than just the 22 who run out. I don't think you can give everybody on the list. I think you need to have played a game through the year. Bob Murphy comes to mind. We have another story like that, Nathan Jones, who comes to mind. And I think that culturally the game needs to shift to recognise these people.
Yeah, I can see that argument. I would be happy to see a medal for everyone. That happens in the Olympic swimming, doesn't it? If you swim in the heats or run in the heats, you get a medal. And so I think that makes a bit of sense. I'm not sure every player on the list can have one. I'm not sure that works. But having said all that, you know, great footy clubs. And you know what I really enjoy most out of what I'm seeing with the Melbourne Footy Club is just the way the guys are handling themselves off field. I find, you know, on field is fantastic, but the way he's talking, Petrarca's talking, Viney's talking, all those fellas that were just coming into the game and didn't know anything about player leadership when I was there really matured and developed. And the way they talk and the way they present the club, I think, is fantastic for a foundation to build a great club, a sustainable great club like the Sydneys and the Geelongs and the Hawthorns have done. And that being the case, I'm not sure the medal to 22 players will be the real issue. I think not inside the club. I think the club will handle that in their own way at their own time and recognise everybody. So, this is just one perhaps. They want 2 or 3 or 4 more in the next 7, 8 or 10 years. That's what they need to aim for. And,
Don't forget Furphy's unbelievable moment. Clearly this week, it can only go to one bloke. Ollie Wines winning the Brownlow medal and introducing the easy drinking beer from Furphy to the stage was our most unbelievable moment. Furphy's crisp lager brewed for the ultimate refreshment. It's unbelievable, even on Brownlow medal night.